Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. With its focus on transformational diplomacy, the U.S. Department of State has charted a bold new course in U.S. diplomacy. Implementing this vision includes significant changes to the very culture and view of U.S. diplomacy, as well as in managing of institutions at home and abroad. With us this morning to discuss his efforts in support of transformational diplomacy is our very special guest, Ambassador Patrick Kennedy, Undersecretary of State for Management at the U.S. Department of State. Good morning, Ambassador Kennedy.
Good morning, Albert.
And joining us in our conversation is Bonnie Glick, Project Executive at IBM. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Pat, many of our listeners will be familiar with the Department of State as the diplomatic arm of the U.S. government. But to provide a broader context, could you take a few moments and provide us an overview of the history and mission of the State Department? When was it created and how has its mission evolved over the time?
Well, thank you. The State Department has been around since 1789, since the actual founding of the United States. And there are slight predecessors of the State Department that go back even before them. I mean, Benjamin Franklin, who we at the State Department count as our first diplomat and envoy to France during the Revolutionary War, existed prior to the Constitution. But the State Department is the oldest and one of the smallest cabinet agencies. We provide a number of services to the American people. Our mission essentially is to protect the economic and political security of the United States and to protect the numerous American citizens who travel overseas, and lastly, to serve as the front line in our border security efforts. Our colleagues in the Bureau of Consular Affairs stationed at our embassies around the world provide not only, as I said, services to American citizens who live and work abroad or are in distress when they're tourists, but also issue visas to foreigners who wish to either live or work in the United States.
Now, that's certainly a very broad mission, but you also use the term that it's the smallest of the departments. So could you give us a better sense of scale? How is it organized, size of the budget, number of full-time employees?
I should have said it's one of the smallest. It is not the smallest. We have approximately some 20,000 employees stationed in the United States and around the world. That's composed of about 11,000 foreign service officers and foreign service professionals who serve both in the U.S. and at embassies and consulates abroad, and about 7,800 or so civil service employees, most of whom serve in the United States. But our civil service colleagues also do temporary duty, and some of them do special assignments in Iraq. And we have a number of civil service employees, for example, serving in Iraq and Afghanistan now and doing very, very important work. So it's about 20,000 Americans and backed up by about 37,000 foreign national employees stationed at our embassies. These are either residents of the country where the embassy or consul is located or foreign nationals from another country. They are also an integral part as they help to provide support activities for us.
Great. Now that you've provided us with a sense of the larger organization, could you tell us more about your area and specific role within the department? What are your specific responsibilities and duties as the Undersecretary of State for Management? Could you tell us about the areas under your purview, how your area is organized, the size of your staff and budget? And given the responsibility for both overseas and domestic operations, could you give us a sense of how you balance limited resources between domestic and overseas operations?
Well, that's a very good question. I am the senior management advisor to the Secretary of State. My responsibility is to organize the support activities of the department to ensure that the resources, whether they be human or financial, in order to carry out the missions that the Secretary has received from the President. We organize along about seven major lines. There's the Bureau of Administration. This deals with logistics, supply, transportation, all those essential elements that keep operations going. Then there is the Bureau of Consular Affairs, incredibly important, issues passports to American citizens who wish to travel overseas, registers births of Americans born overseas. If tragically, if an American citizen dies overseas, assists the family in that regard, and then issues visas, whether they're tourists, business, students, journalists, or immigrants. The Bureau of Diplomatic Security, our security professionals ensure that embassies are safe, work with the American business community abroad in a very important organization called the Overseas Security Advisory Committee, and work with businesses to advise them on the situation in a given country, and also protect foreign dignitaries who visit the United States, and lastly, do important law enforcement work in ensuring that those who wish to counterfeit or abuse American passports and visas are turned over to the Department of Justice. We have an important training mission. Our Foreign Service Institute, which is based at the National Foreign Affairs Training Center at the old Arlington Hall Station in Arlington, Virginia, teaches some 500 courses a year in management or professional specialties, and also does language training in over 70 languages so that our American Diplomatic Corps is able to communicate with people in their own languages. When you have operations all over the world, you have to be able to communicate with them, and we have a robust information technology division, the Bureau of Information Resources Management under our Chief Information Officer. And that office makes sure that we are able to communicate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the most modern means, satellite, high-speed fiber, to make sure that any information that we collect abroad can get back in the Secretary's hands or the National Security Council staff's hands or the Pentagon's hands in literally seconds. We have a medical division. We have a Bureau of Resource Management under our Chief Financial Officer. The State Department has an operating budget of about $3.5 billion a year, and it's up to the Chief Financial Officer to advise me and then help me advise the Secretary and the Deputy Secretary on how our resources should be deployed. And lastly, we have an Office of Overseas Buildings Operations, which builds and constructs and helps maintain some 15,000 properties that the U.S. government owns abroad. The entire State Department operating budget's about $3.5 billion. That's generally under my purview. In addition to that, there is about $1.5 billion in construction and maintenance accounts, and then another couple of billion dollars that are generated by our consular service, which is essentially a fee-based operation. When you go and get a new passport, part of the fee that you pay goes to the Bureau of Consular Affairs to underwrite the service and the staff it takes to produce that. And when somebody in most countries overseas applies for a visa to come to the United States, they pay an application fee that also serves to underwrite the expenses there. Your second question was sort of the tougher one, which is how do you balance overseas and domestic? Our view, and that's the view of all the senior management of the State Department, is our main focus is overseas. Our assignments are to collect and analyze the political and economic events that are going on abroad, to look at the science and technology efforts that are going on in foreign countries, to report those activities to Washington along with the analysis. The other thing I should mention is that State Department functions as the owner and the operator of an embassy platform. And so when an agency wishes to go overseas, the State Department provides services, personnel services, financial services, building services to that government agency, but charges them for it. Mm-hmm. Domestically, we try to make sure that our focus is supporting our overseas operations with two important codicils. One is that obviously there are many U.S. government agencies in Washington that have an interest in foreign affairs, and so part of our Washington operation is a liaison with the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Commerce, National Security Council staff, and others to make sure they're getting the information they need. And secondly, our consular services, whether it be assisting you to get a passport or assisting an American who is trying to adopt a child overseas, those are critical. But the major force is overseas, and we try to push most of our personnel and our resources overseas to carry out those missions.
We have a huge plate that you try to balance. Regarding all of this, in your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges, if I could be so bold as to ask, that you face in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
Well, I think that the first thing to remember is the State Department is essentially a people organization. Basically, our activities, as I mentioned earlier, were to do political and economic reporting and provide consular and administrative services. And to do that, you need people. My first goal is always to make sure that the State Department recruits, retains, trains, and assigns the best people that we possibly can so that we have the human resources to do our job. Secondly, obviously, is the budget. The State Department's budget is always very tight. The fluctuating U.S. dollar has taken a big hit on State Department operations this year. We figure that between the time we started the budget process and this actual fiscal year, the dollar has probably sunk almost $100 million in terms of what we have to buy in terms of local currency to pay those expenses overseas that one pays in local currency. So budgeting is at times an exercise in triage, and we try to do that very carefully. And the third activity, which is something that we work on very closely, is to make sure that our services to American citizens are the best they can be. As you all know, there were a few problems last year in terms of a huge surge in passport applications. In 2006, we issued 12 million passports. In 2007, it surged incredibly, literally in a couple of months, and in the end, we issued 18 million passports, which was a 50% increase that no one had really foreseen. There was no data that predicted you would have such a surge as that. And so over the past year, we have taken steps to make sure that as passports are again requested in this year, that kind of delays to the American public will not happen again. This year, we're running an estimate 20 to 25% ahead of last year in terms of passport demand, but yet there is no delay. An American citizen who goes in and gets their passport is going to get them, you know, within a few weeks and not the month or two that it was taking last year. So I think those are the three issues I'm focusing on now.
Now, you spent a little over 35 years in government service. Could you describe your career path for our listeners, and how have these prior experiences prepared you for your current leadership role and perhaps shape your management style?
Well, I joined the Foreign Service, as you said, 35 years ago, shortly after graduating from college. I spent my first two tours in the Foreign Service in the Bureau of African Affairs. The first part of that as a regional administrative officer, roaming around Africa is, in effect, the spare tire. And then secondly, came back to Washington after that to become the personnel officer for the Bureau of African Affairs and went on from there to be a special assistant to the Undersecretary for Management. Went to Paris then as the General Services Officer in that State Department lingo for the logistics and maintenance officer. Came back to Washington, spent 5 years as the executive director of the Secretariat, which means that I was the administrative officer for the Secretary of State and other senior officials and took care of their budget, finance, and human resources needs, as well as accompanying the Secretary of State for 5 years on all foreign and domestic travel. Did a year of advanced training after that, went on to Cairo, which was and still is one of the largest U.S. embassies in the world, was chief of administration there, came back to Washington, was assistant secretary of state for administration for a number of years, went to New York. I was one of the deputies to John Negroponte when he was the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations and was responsible for U.S. budget contributions to the U.N. as well as U.S. relations with the UN and other nations on what are called host country affairs, protocol issues, taxation, parking tickets, law enforcement issues. And during my time in New York, I was twice detailed to Iraq, the first in 2003 for about 6.5 months, and I was the chief of staff for the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. I then went back in 2004 to do the transition from a Department of Defense-run CPA to the new American Embassy. At the end of my four-year tenure in New York, I went to Office of National Intelligence and again worked for John Negroponte and helped him set up the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And then in 2007 came back to the State Department. That sort of long and varied career, I think, has taught me a couple of things that hopefully prepared me for this job. The first is the importance of people. You get things done if you have a good team. But I think what I've learned is people will respond to a mission. They'll respond to tough and difficult assignments if you sit them down and explain, this is our goal. This is why that goal is so important. This is your individual mission in supporting that goal. This is how you fit into the big picture. Give them that assignment and then let them do their job. Second thing I learned, that operations overseas are different than they are in Washington. It's not that it's better, it's just different. And having served overseas, it gives you the context as you're now trying to manage something in Washington in support of the field. You have to keep always in mind that things are different. The third thing, I guess, is that there are always problems that arise. You have to be creative and flexible. Events happen overseas, some good, some bad, but you have to be always prepared to surge resources, to operate almost instantaneously, to either protect the lives of American citizens, to working to protect American embassies when they come under attack.
Very, very broad mission. Thank you. How does the State Department manage its resources and infrastructure here and abroad? We will ask Ambassador Patrick Kennedy, Undersecretary of State for Management at the U.S. Department of State, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.